2 Corinthians chapter 4, we get up to verse 13. Verse 13 tells us the how to work and walk and live the gospel, and that's by faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. There it is. It's not very difficult. It's simple enough for the youngest child to understand. Yet it's complex enough to boggle the mind of a theologian when you really press in and go into these things of faith and what it really means to understand the reality around us and what that reality really is. So it's by faith, not by sight, and we're going to be talking about that today. We introduced the gospel last week in chapter 3, talking about us being the able ministers of it. And we talked about various aspects of the gospel. We are able ministers. You're capable ministers. As soon as you receive Jesus, you are a capable minister. You don't need a plaque on the wall. And it's a gospel of liberty, we found out in verse 17. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's not about bondage. We're setting people free. That's the business we've been called to. That's what Jesus announced when he stood up, broke open Isaiah 6, and read it before everyone. We talked about the gospel being light as well. And that's going to be a big focus today. Verse 6 of chapter 4 talked about that light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our study today is going to be applying and really living this gospel and understanding that it isn't something that we come to terms with by head knowledge, that it isn't something that we study out and then we finally come to some type of great apprehension of this gospel. It's something that we're rather exposed to. So that's to have the example here today, you're going to get blinded by this light. I'm not going to leave it on and annoy you that bad. Is that too bad? All right. So that's the visual today, and that's what we're talking about, is that the gospel is light. When you go out and hand something, attract to somebody, we need to keep that in mind, that it isn't something on paper. It isn't something of word, it is something of spirit. It is light that we're transmitting. And verse 6 is really the culmination of that gospel message right there, is that God has shined light into darkness, and that darkness is in the heart of man. It's in the heart of mankind. In the beginning of creation, there was formless void. The very beginning of creation, some people have theories of what that means and all kinds of strange thoughts, but we'll just keep it simple. In the beginning, there was this formless void. God was there. And he said, let there be light. And that formless void took shape. And what we experience now of that Genesis is happening in the hearts of man. And verse 6 ties back to Genesis, and it ties that light now, that act of light happening in the hearts of man. That's where the darkness, that's where the formless void is out there. People have all sorts of superficial presentations of happiness and joy and wisdom and got it all together kind of stuff. But man, the heart is desperately wicked and needs to be healed. All have fallen short. We can be comfortable out there knowing that. You know, it's not like, you know, does this person really need the gospel? Are they hooked on something? Are they in some type of sinful lifestyle? Are they in bondage? No, everyone. Everyone is in that. All have fallen short. And perhaps the people that are in the worst place are the ones that don't know that, that feel like they are rich and well-to-do, as it says in Laodicea Revelation. So we're talking about light today. The application of this gospel is one of light. We are transformed by light. And take a look at the last verse in chapter 3 there. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Verse 18, the last verse. But we all with open face, straight on, beholding as in a glass, that's like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's a day-by-day process going from glory to glory. And it's done by faith to faith. That's the connection. So there's four knowings that I want to talk about today. And this knowing is different. There's two different knowings, and this is where I don't like to go a lot into the technical Greek stuff a lot, but this is a time where it makes a lot of sense. There's two different knowings in the Greek language. And this particular knowing that we're talking about is called eido. Eido. It sounds like somebody that has a stuffed nose that's saying, I know. Eido. That's the knowing that we're going to be talking about. This is the knowing that transforms us, that changes us. The other knowing is the gnosko. And that is the intimate knowing and perceiving and understanding something. That is not how we're changed. That is not how we're changed. We're changed by being exposed to light. And then that deep understanding comes. We get in a reverse when we go into a study and we try to learn these things and then be changed by them. And we find that we fall. We find that we falter. We find that we find weakness in that. It's the exposure to Jesus Christ. It's putting our eyes on Jesus and focusing on that light that we're transformed. And then the understanding comes. Then the gnosko comes on how to live. Then the understanding really comes. I can teach up here till I'm blue in the face, and it's not going to happen. It's when you look at Jesus Christ, that's when the transformation happens. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're changed. That's the only way that real change happens, is beholding that light of God. So this knowing, this eido, that we're going to see four times in the end of chapter 4, then three times in chapter 5, is that word eido. There's also gnosko used in there. So just a little bit of a word study. Really want to drive this home because I think this is such a key thing to applying the gospel of God. You've heard it, now how do you live it? It's the same way that you heard it and you received it, is that you live it by faith. Let's take a look at this knowing here. The first one I want to talk about is the eido. And this one is more sight. It's an exposure. You experience God. It's a sight thing. So most of the translations of this knowing is see or saw. Something you saw. Matthew 3:16 will be in Matthew for these examples. Keep it easy. I got three examples of the eido, the seeing, the light, just simply witnessing it. And then I have three examples of the gnosko. That's the knowing, the deep understanding, the intimacy. Both are important, of course. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to do 4:16, then 5:16. Okay, anybody want to read 3:16?
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
And that word knowing is... He saw. So that came to be. He, through the vision of what he saw, he came to know this. 4:16. Somebody else read that, please.
People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has come.
Very apropos for what we're talking about today. Seeing light. Seeing the Spirit. The people which sat in darkness saw. That's the eido, that's the knowing. They came to know this through the exposure, the experience of this light. And 5:16, one more person.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
All three of these times it's translated as see. Most of the times it's translated as see or saw. About 45% of the time it's knowing. So this particular Greek word, it's a good word study, having to do with light again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, they may know. They may know. In the same way they know, they see, you know. You are changed. It's not different. We look upon Jesus Christ, we're changed and transformed, and then we reflect that same thing out in the world. And that light changes people. They grab a hold of that light. We can argue them about evolution and creation. The sun goes down. We can argue them about the existence of God and maybe make a couple inches headway. But you want to get miles? You want to get light years? We can talk about light. You talk about light and being that light. Okay, three examples for gnosko, for this different type of knowing. This is the end result of the first knowing. Matthew 1:25. Somebody there?
Did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Okay, talking about sexual relations between a man and a woman, husband and wife. He didn't know her. And that's that gnosko. So that's an intimacy there of knowing. The same word is used there. Matthew 7:23.
I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
There's that gnosko. I never knew you. That's that intimate knowledge of you. The Lord talking about what he wants with us. He wants to know us in that way. Yeah, he knows all the hairs on our head. He knows everything. But this knowing is different than a technical knowing. It's a relational. It's knowing you. Husband and wife, the first example that we gave. So it should give us some clues here what this type of knowing is all about. That's what that, I'm sure the marriage conference was touched on that many times, this type of knowing. One more, Matthew 10:26.
Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known.
Another example of gnosko. Everything will be known to that level and extent, every detail, every word spoken. Amen. Okay, so good word study. Appreciate it, your participation in that. Now let's talk about this knowing. The knowing that changes us and brings us to the more in-depth knowing. You can't put the reverse order. It's a struggle if you do. A lot of people are in that camp. I touched on it last week. On that tree of the knowledge, the gnosko, of good and evil. So there's a lot of teaching going on in that area. This is right and this is wrong. And trying to get people over on the one side of the tree that's good. So that's the knowledge of the good and evil and just struggling and flesh management. Trying to get people to behave right. Behavior management. Stop doing this. Start doing that. And it's a lot of effort and a lot of struggle. And just a lot of sweat. And Jesus says, come, all you who are heavy laden. He's talking about those guys that are over on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sweating, struggling, trying to be better, to come over to the tree of life. That doesn't happen on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because that's all about the gnosko. That's all about trying through the study and understanding of things to come to a realization of a better life and living towards God and pleasing Him. It comes through revelation. It comes through revelation. Exposure to the light. That's what the tree of life is all about. That's where real change happens. That's where substantial change and significant change happens. The kind of change that happens that Jesus is looking for when he says, I know this person. When he was mentioning that, he was talking to people that were doing all sorts of good works. They had done many powerful works. They had done miracles even, it says there. In your name, it says. You know what tree they're on? People don't understand that verse because it's like, wait a minute, what chance do I have to go to heaven? These guys were doing miracles. They were casting out demons. They were doing feeding the poor and all this stuff, but they're on the wrong tree. They're on the wrong tree. They never had the intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it comes through revelation. They're living the life of trying to please God on that tree. It's totally different. That's why it's important to do that word study. It's important to know this one, this particular knowing, to know this word. Unfortunately, with the Greek, there's just that the difficulty in translation, so we could lose some of the power here when things are translated. But this knowing is that beholding in the glass, the glory of the Lord. That's when you're changed. That's when I'm changed. That's why I know Genesis 1 is true, because that's the only place that I ever experienced anything that was of the supernatural, was beholding the glory of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the threats of hell. It wasn't the you better do good, or these are the consequences, or you're going to die, or this, or you're going to have be divorced, or this is going to happen, or you're not going to have joy, or you're not going to have this and all that. None of that. Don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff. Really. When it comes down to my wicked heart, it just cares about itself. I need to be exposed to pure, holy light. We sang it this morning. Holy, holy, holy. God dwells in a light that no man can approach. When he talked in the Old Testament about Moses wanted to see the glory of God and all this, and just he'd get a little, you know, little bit of that, but he would say, I need to be on the outside of the camp because people would be consumed by it. There's a lot of references we can go into, we won't today, but about the glory of God, that he dwells in this light that's not approachable by man in our present state. In our present state, we can behold the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And that's what verse 6 is talking about in chapter 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, tying Genesis right to present day, right to this very second, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That exposure of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ now. So we're to behold the face. I mean, I'm to imagine Jesus' face and, you know, what eye color he has. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. It's about seeing the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It's about seeing with the eyes of your heart now. I asked Gretchen to sing that one this morning, to insert that. It's about seeing with not these natural eyes anymore, but the eyes of the heart, seeing the glory of the Lord. That means everything I look at, whether it's a sunset or a person walking down the street, Pat, you touched on it, I see the glory of the Lord. We're not to look at each other after the flesh. That's one of the knowings that's going to be the last one, but after Christ. So it changes everything. The eyes of my heart are now beholding the glory of God in everything I do, say, and experience. Change comes through that. I go from glory to glory. I am growing, as Patty also shared. We're all growing, we're learning. Roger shared as well. Okay, so the first knowing, the first idol, the first seeing, the first revelation of light that changes us is verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. The first knowing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's presented here in this particular area. And that actually begins with verse 7 and it ends in verse 15 there. So I'm going to read that block together, and that'll be knowing number one. The revelation of his light, number one. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How is that treasure revealed? Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now the glory is shining out of that clay vessel. The glory of Jesus Christ is being revealed. That light is shining before men. It's not only changing us, but it's also changing the people around us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what changes the world. That is what changes us and causes us to go from glory to glory. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. These are elements of the glory of Jesus Christ. You want to know the face of Jesus Christ? I'm telling you about it right now. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. This is an opportunity for testimony. If you've got something, raise your hand as I'm reading this kind of stuff, because it's the glory of Jesus that's going out right now. There was a testimony shared last night at prayer meeting. She's not here right now, but it had to do with her boss and a lot of language issues, and that boss being just overwhelmed to know that she was going through some type of problem. You know, this happened. Trouble on every side, yet not distressed. Her boss witnessed that. And she was giving testimony to that last night in prayer and giving thanks to God and glorifying God and praying for that boss. We were. That is the glory of Jesus Christ. That changed me when I was here last night. That affected me. That was light that got turned on. I was affected by that light that happened. That's Jesus Christ. That's the glory of God. I go from glory to glory as I hear these things, as I'm exposed to this light. That changes me. It brings me into this deeper place of knowing God, the gnosko. The revelation brings me into the gnosko of knowing Jesus Christ. Hope that makes sense. Persecuted but not forsaken. Losing a job because you're a believer. Cast down but not destroyed. Being put down, cast down. The world's given it to you, but not destroyed. Here you are. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's phrased in so many different ways. And it is like light, because you just need to, like, I can't understand that. I just need to be exposed to that. I just need to get before this and be exposed by it. That Jesus Christ died for me and he took my sin. And I can't pick that apart and really and get a grasp of that. I've got to just be exposed to that light. I need to get under that lamp and allow that to change me and bring me into that place of understanding and freedom and healing. In Hebrews, it talks about various testimonies, and one of the strangest ones is Joseph. He had all sorts of awesome things happen that he could give glory to God, and how God did mighty things in his life. He was cast down and then, you know, taken up by and made the second in command in Egypt through quite a crazy process, then put in prison, and just a wonderful, awesome story, you know, and how he resisted Potiphar's wife and when she forced herself on him, and all the guys are like, wow, that guy's, you know, he's awesome, he's strong, you know. And all those things he could have boasted about in the Lord. And just in Hebrews, you know, that his testimony says, and he gave command for his bones to be taken out of Egypt. It's like, what? That's the one that was chosen? That was the glory of his life? Yeah. Has a lot to do about of this, what we're reading right here. He was a type of Christ. If you remember when Egypt was going through all that turmoil and it drove the people, the Hebrews, up to Egypt to get the grain, it was all Joseph and God using Joseph. He was a type of Christ, a type of Savior in that way, in Egypt, in the world. In his death, his bones being taken care of, a type of resurrection that Moses would actually do that with his people and would take his bones out of Egypt and move them to the promised land. So Joseph, then Moses, being another type coming after that, being a deliverer, coming out like the second coming of Christ. That's a whole nother teaching. I'm trying to not get too deep in that right now. But that's the glory of Jesus Christ. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. We're crucified with him. It's not I, but Christ that lives in me. All of these things are things we just simply need to sit under, meditate on, be exposed to, and be changed by. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So going into that exposure of light and knowing, being in that place of revelation, we start confessing. We start believing in the heart and start speaking it, and change happens. New life happens. Mountains are moved. And this is our life of faith. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also us by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or abound to the glory of God. So that's number one in the light, being exposed to the light. Number two is in verse 1 of chapter 5. So I'm going to read that, then come back to verse 16 there. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, you died, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So the second exposure of light that we have is that this isn't it. This physical life that we have, and even this frame that we're in, is not our permanent state. And that is a reality, something that we're to be exposed to, and that is to be revealed to us. Let's start with verse 16 and work our way to that. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You can tie that to the glory to glory back in the last verse of chapter 3. Day by day, we're being exposed to the light of the gospel in various ways, whether testimony from someone or God revealing himself in a sunset, or God revealing himself in his word, just coming up, rising off the page, and you've got the revealed word of God, the Rhema happening. Day by day, we're being renewed, the inward man. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow, that's a mouthful. Our light affliction, yeah, cancer, fourth degree, all of that is a light confliction compared to, you know, it's in a moment compared to eternity. Our light affliction is but for a moment. It might seem like a long time when you can't sleep at night because the pain is there, but it's a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So even our affliction is working to the good. It's working for us, it says there. A far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen in verse 18, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The scientists are just kind of catching up to the word of God here. There was an article a couple of weeks ago that now we know that the whole universe is a hologram. So can you imagine the scientists? So finally they came to that conclusion, and he puts his pen down. And says, yeah, we're all done. That's good. We finally figured it out. The whole universe is just a mirage. It's not there. And then they have all these formulas to prove what they're talking about, and fancy diagrams and stuff. And can you just boil that down and look at me straight in the face and tell me that? They've come to verse 18. They've caught up to the wisdom of God here. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They are shifting sands. They're images that disappear, smoke that disappears, a vapor. The things that are not seen, love, faith, hope, are eternal. The Spirit of God, the Spirit within us, are eternal. For we know, it's the second knowing, second revelation. This is what changes you, folks. That if our earthly house of this tabernacle, it's your body, were dissolved, we have a building of God. It talks about you have a mansion in heaven. It's not like you pull up with your Lamborghini and and the beautiful driveway. It's not what that's talking about. That mansion is the house you're going to dwell in, your permanent place of dwelling, that new body that you're going to have that's not going to fall apart and need replacement parts and need surgery and need pills and all the stuff that keeps us going here. We have a building of God, and He's gone to prepare that place for us. A house not made with hands, thank God, eternal in the heavens. That is something to be exposed to and be changed by. That will begin to shape your decisions, your thoughts, your actions, the things you say to each other. I have a building of God waiting for me. Why do I want to invest in everything down here? In bricks and mortar. That takes a lesser place than these things that are permanent, that are eternal. I can't tell someone that and expect them to say, okay, that makes sense, I'll start doing that. I can't expect to teach someone that. It has to be revealed. It can't be taught, it has to be caught. It's light exposure that brings you into that place of being taught, of understanding, of living it. For in this body we groan, amen? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I'm not sure where prosperity gospel, well, I do know, I've studied it. I know they get two verses from here and one verse from way over here. The truth and reality is that this physical body is very temporary. And in it, I groan. Amen. Okay. I am happy for the miracles. I pray for them. I believe that, Lord Jesus, all things are possible. I believe it's a strong witness to go out into the world and to heal, touch the lepers and do all of that, and the glory of God goes with us. But I also believe that I'm getting older. That in this, I am not going to have this temple for all. It is fading away, and I am groaning in this thing increasingly. For in this we groan. Thank you, Lord, for putting that in there. There it is. I am not going to put all my stake, all my hope in belly tucks and lifts and whatever the new shake is down the block, you know, is this, that, and the other thing. Those things are great. Help me feel a little better. Whatever it is, we're going to groan. And my desire is to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven, not built with man's hand. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That's not the purpose of our being ejected from this body. Isn't just to be out there in oblivion floating. It's to be clothed again. For we, in verse 4, that are in this tabernacle, that's the house, your physical body, do groan, just in case you missed that when he said it just a few verses ago, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's a tree of life that he's called us to, that he's bid us to. He's given us that deposit, that earnest of life, called the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. There is that deposit of eternal life in you, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is faithful. We let go of him, but that is the grip that God has on us. He has put a deposit securely in us, himself, in us, in this earthen vessel. Back to verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Be exposed to that light. Don't try to understand it before you're just exposed by it. Allow the light to change and transform you into that place of understanding and living it. There's a difference. There's such a grand difference. Therefore, we always are confident knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. That's his face to face. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Good key verse to recall and remember. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. There isn't an in-between or anything like that. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. Now we're going to break into number 3 of knowing. And that's in verse 11. We'll catch back up on verse 9 there. Knowing therefore, this is number 3 of this. You could imagine a third light turning on, and you're just overwhelmed with the light now. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. The fear of the Lord is another exposure of light. And before you run off and fear the Lord in the wrong way, let's understand what that means. Be exposed to the God who is the God who has given us Jesus Christ, our counselor, the one that is going to be our go-between, our daysman. And let's look at it in verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted or pleasing, well-pleasing of him. We labor, our work is, whether we're present or absent, we may be well-pleasing to the Lord. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Of Christ, the same one we're beholding. The same one that we're beholding the glory of, we're going to be in front of him someday. Romans 14 talks about differences that people have in their belief and their faith and their walk. Church is split over these things, and you know, I can have 12 beers and you know, I'm good with God, you know, because the Bible says over here I can have 10 beers, but if I go to 11, then, you know, and this kind of thing. I can do R-rated movies, but I won't do triple X. I can't do PG-13. All those things, all that stuff needs to be left on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you need to first come over to the tree of life. Stand under the light that Jesus Christ, to behold his glory, is the one that we're going to stand before and give account. And Romans 14 says that before it says much anything else. It says that we will stand before Jesus Christ. Before you say these things, that you do it of faith, before you say you have this freedom and do all this, just know this, that this one that you behold, this one that you love, the one that died for you, you are going to be face to face with someday. He's given you a deposit of his Holy Spirit. He's given you life now, an eternal life. And you're going to stand before him. So be careful with the things you say and do. Let that shape your actions as well. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. It's clear to God. Everything, the light will be exposed. Everything that we do, we read it earlier from Matthew. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them that glory in appearance, but not in heart. The issue of the heart is the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. We commend not ourselves. It's not about building, you know, I'm going to tell you how great I am, and we're building each other up in that way. It's nothing to do with that. When we boast from the Lord, it is something really that is the light of God shining through us. This is something that happened by the strength of God. For whether we be beside ourselves, that means we've kind of lost our mind, it is to God, or whether we be sober and got mental faculties or right on target, it is for your cause. It has nothing to do with it. Our life is given over to God, and sometimes we don't have it all going on together. This is key for this particular knowing, this idol, this revelation of light, is verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. It isn't the hooker, it isn't the addict, it isn't all of us dead. All of us dead. It's the love of Christ that constrains me. Paul, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? It's because of Jesus. Well, what about Jesus? He loves me. And that's the greatest exposure is in verse 11, perhaps the toughest one, is talking about this fear of the Lord. And being exposed to this love, it makes me go down to my knees. It reduces me to nothing. It's Peter when he says, I'm undone. It's Isaiah when he said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. It's the revelation of this holy God And it's not just that he's awesome and powerful. It's his love that reduces me because I fall so short in it. His love, which is so grand and perfect, it constrains me. That's what Christ uses in my life to put borders up and to instruct me. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I forgot to include some of the testimonies here, but the eternal body, just to go back to that real quick. You know, and think of all the testimonies. Perhaps the most testimonies rise up out of that one that I hear. It's like I had cancer, and I thank God for it. And I'm just scratching my head. I will never understand that statement. I will never come through studying books and through the letter, understand what they're talking about. It is simply light. It is the glory of Jesus Christ I'm being exposed to. Becky Field, who is here, when she can come here, she gave testimony to that. I thank God that I went through all of this, and it took a while. But at a certain point, it finally dawned on me, the love of God. I finally got it. And it was through this groaning. It was through this the trials of this body, this fleshly time. And I hear this over and over and over again. And perhaps the most testimonies, the most light comes out of that I hear on this earth, out of that one, that our body does groan and it fails. And we seek his strength through that. Praise God. All right, we can do the last one maybe. The last one is the last knowing, the last idol is verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So we have both words for knowing in this particular verse. In the first one, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. That's the idol, the one we're talking about today. Yet we've known Christ, that's the intimate one, after the flesh. They were walking with him, they heard him, his mannerisms, how he would use his eyes as he talked, how he would use his hands. Yet now henceforth know we no more. It's no more about his physical body. I don't want to paint an image of Jesus Christ and hang it up in church here. That's not what it's about. We don't know him anymore like that. It is through the glory that is demonstrated, the light that is exposed. That's Christ. I was exposed to it last night. I heard some more this morning. I am changed by that. I'm encouraged by that in ways that we don't even understand sometimes. We know no man after the flesh. Our exposure to judge people after the flesh is to look at people in this manner. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You could take that personally, that verse, but that verse is really in the context of looking at each other. It's looking at each other. How do I do that? Just sit under that light, because that's how Jesus looked at you and looks at you. That's how God the Father looks at you through Christ. Just sit under that light and be changed by it. And then the understanding will come. The how-to and the wisdom and all of that will come. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. That connects us back to where we started, that we're able ministers, that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not ministries of judgment. Maddie shared that with youth group at one of the youth groups this week. John 3:16 he was in, 17 and 18. Not a ministry of condemnation, but one of reconciling mankind back with God. And that's the whole idea of the gospel. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Enjoy that today. Enjoy the ministry of reconciliation. Enjoy the fact that you are able ministers of the gospel. Enjoy the fact that he wants you to be light and to be exposed to light, to share with one another this light that has been shed in our hearts, it's been shined in our hearts, and continually transforms us from that first moment we received Him and we became new to the last breath in our life. Day by day, going from glory to glory. Father God, Your story of grace and love and truth is so powerful. It is so amazing and yet so simple that the youngest child can understand and receive. And the most complex technical person can play with it and be intrigued by it and dig into it and spend a whole lifetime on their knees praying through it and writing commentary and just digging in. There's so much richness to Your truth, Lord God. We don't even understand light. We still don't understand what it is. What's that stuff coming out of that unit over there? Even in the natural element of it. There's so much power to it. Yet the reality of Your light, God, how much more mysterious, how much more wonderful, how much more powerful to change the wicked heart in the dark, formless void that haunts all of mankind. Thank You, Jesus. Use us mightily today for Your kingdom. May we be well-pleasing to You. Amen.